Cool. Happy birthday, happy anniversary to all of you. What a blessing that is. Well, it's really glad to have you, especially if you're a guest today. Thanks for being here to be a part of what God's doing. I hope you won't be scarce, that you'll come back and share life with us again in the days that are ahead of us. I showed this slide in the first service, and I said to them, I wish that I had a dime for every time that my mom and dad said those words to me before I left the house when I was a teenager. I also wish I had a dime for every time I said those words to my sons when they left the house going to do something. I also wish I had a dime for every time that Diana says something like that to me about when I go off somewhere. But, you know, and how many of us would, you know, how many of us remember saying that to someone or having it said to us? Miss Francis, really? Nobody's ever told you to just be good? Now, okay, maybe we need to do this again. How many of us ever remember having those words said to us? Just be good? Come on, man. There you go. Oh, yeah, of course we do. I mean, we all know what that's like. We know what it's like. So here, today, we're talking about another part of our summer message series on the fruit of the Spirit, juicy fruit. Today's topic, today's fruit is goodness. We're going to get to that in just a moment. I do want to tell you a little bit about Jake Nyman. He's the guy that was up here talking about Celebrate Recovery. Jake and I go back about 25 years, Jake. All I know is that I remember we both had darker colored hair than we do now. But Jake, here's a really crazy thing how life goes, just happens. We were together, I was living in Northern Kentucky, hanging out and doing ministry up there, and he and his wife were up in Northern Kentucky, and life kind of separated us and got away. They went their way, I went mine, we went all over the place. They moved to LaGrange about 2 months ago, 3 months, four months ago. And listen, not only did they move to LaGrange, they moved two doors down. And unbeknownst to either one of us, it just happened that way. I mean, how cool was that? And God's brought us back together, and Jake's really involved in Celebrate Recovery. I hope that if anything in that video kind of nudged your heart, just to think about what that might be. What was it? Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Man, we've all got them. And so if that just, you know, perked you up a little bit or nudged you just a little bit, go be part of that meeting and just see what God's up to with that. Okay? Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into this place. Fill us up. God, speak to us in these next few moments with the power and the presence of your Spirit speaking through your holy word. Challenge us, God, to be better because we've been in your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the important reminders, you know, every time I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the important reminders that I want to say to us is when we surrender our hearts, when we finally give up control of life and let God step in, when we allow God's Spirit to come into our life, He comes into our lives in His fullness. We don't get pieces and parts of the Holy Spirit. God comes in and fills us up and begins to work on our hearts and work in us. And we, one of His desires, His deepest desires, is to grow fruit in our lives. And Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So I just want us to make sure we grab hold of that and get our minds around that. We've been talking about and learning about and thinking about this thing called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit continues to grow in our lives as we daily yield our hearts and yield our lives to Him and to His direction. I want you to read along with me these words from Galatians chapter 5. They're in your bulletin as well. So you can read out of your bulletin if you'd like to. If you want to follow along on the screen, read along on the screen. This doesn't have the last phrase, so we'll do that in here together. But these words are so powerful. So let's read them together. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Paul talks about the power and presence of God's Spirit within us that transforms us and makes us different on a daily basis. Last week, you know, we've talked about love and peace and joy. We talked about kindness and what it means to be kind. I thought about this morning, anybody have a kindness story you want to share? Something that you did to someone, something that you found. Anybody want to share something? Wow. It's been a great week. Man, listen, I'll tell you something. I found myself challenged right after worship last week to be kind. And I wasn't so good at it. I wasn't. It's growing. Not perfect. None of us are. When we talk about goodness, we talk about love. It's growing, but we're not perfect. And I love what Paul says to the Ephesian church. That's also in your bulletin this morning. So if you've set that aside, I want you to grab that and look at that. Or turn your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Because when Paul writes this letter to the Ephesian church, he is well aware that life happens. And usually that's that we experience that. When we're not so good at doing the fruit of the Spirit, it's because life is happening. You know, it's really an amazing thing how when we first give our hearts to Jesus and when we allow Him to come into our lives, man, we are so passionate about our faith. We are so passionate about our story. Man, we can't wait to tell the next person we see all about Jesus and all about how we want Him to be real in our lives. We can't wait for God to be able to talk to people and just be kind and be gentle and be loving to people. And then life happens. And Paul was aware of that. Paul was aware of that, and he wrote the Ephesian church. He said, look, life's going to happen. And life does happen. Paul encourages these Jesus followers, and he encourages you and me today, by these same words, to be passionate, to be sold out, to be on fire for Jesus. Why would he do that? Why does he encourage us to keep doing that? Why does he encourage us to continue yielding our hearts and yielding our spirits to God? Why? Because every day there are trials to overcome. I mean, maybe you've not had any trials this week. But I'm telling you, every day there are trials to overcome. Every day there are temptations to withstand. There are problems to solve. There are hurts that need to be healed. There are habits that need to be conquered. Life's temptations are constant. And quite often, as the Ephesian church, and you and me too, not always successful in fending off the fiery darts of our enemy. So what was Paul's advice? How did Paul say this thing called life works? How did Paul say that we're to gain the upper hand? How did Paul say that we're to live above? And how did Paul talk about allowing the Spirit of God to live in us? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 4. And if you've got a pen or a pencil, not just single underline, not just double underline, triple underline the first few words there in verse 23. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. That's how we conquer. That's how we fight against temptation. That's how we fight against the thought processes in our lives. We allow the Spirit of God to renew us in our thoughts and our attitudes every moment of every day. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And when I thought about the word renew, I thought, well, what does that mean? Renew. I thought I knew what it meant. You know, and renew, the word renew means to make like new. And it's like restoration. And I thought about, you know, when somebody takes a house and they buy a fixer-upper and they renew it, they remodel it. Or when they take Diane and I love to refinish antique furniture. And we buy stuff and it looks like a wreck. I mean, it looks like a train ran over some of it. And we love to be able to restore it. Take the paint all off of it and put new hinges, but clean everything up and renew it, restore it to the place where it looks like it's brand new. And it's that Paul's taught. That's what he's using, the word he's using. Renew. Allow the Spirit, that's the really cool part, allow the Spirit of God to come into our lives on a moment by moment, day by day basis and restore us, renew us, make us like brand new. Because His Spirit's working in us and through us. That's what He means. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. So then, let me just continue. Listen, verse 24. Because this is kind of the next step here. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And then he says, put on your new nature. Created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy. Wow. There you go. Let the Spirit renew you on a moment by moment. In your thoughts and your attitudes, and put on that new nature. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And here's what he says. Here's the practical side of it. Stop telling lies. Let's tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. Talking about the church. Not somebody in our neighborhood that might not be a believer. We can't expect non-believers to act like believers. Okay? We've got to make sure we understand that. Okay? Really cool. And then he goes, don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Listen, every couple I've ever married in 41 years of doing ministry, every couple, I've said, never, 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 ever go to bed angry at one another. Ever. Whatever it takes, whatever you gotta do, if you gotta stay up half the night, take care of it. Offer forgiveness, receive forgiveness, forgive one another. Never, ever, ever go to bed angry at one another. Paul says that's why. You know, you're not going to feel better about the person if you go to bed angry and wake up in the morning. You'll be bitter. You're going to be resentful. And it's just going to build and build. So Paul's got some good advice here. There we go. Liquid sunshine. It's all good. Hope your windows are up. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for the anger gives the devil a foothold. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all other types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another. There's that kindness thing again. I can't get away from it, it seems. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Thanks be to God for His Word in our lives. Let me say just a couple things about this thing called goodness. First of all, I want to say this. God is good. And all the time? I didn't know if you do that or not. So there you go. Well, good. God is good. And if... No, you don't have to keep saying it. So listen. If you want to check out after I say this, you can check out. But I want to make sure you hear this today. God is good. Don't forget that. No matter what people's opinions are, no matter what the world might say, no matter what people outside of a relationship with Jesus might say about God, Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is a good God. God's nature is graciousness. He is good. He is loving. He is kind. It is what He is. Don't let anybody tell you differently than that. God is good all the time. And, wow. All right, I messed you up. Okay, anyway. Listen. Yeah, I just don't want you to miss that. Listen, in Exodus, in the Old Testament book of Exodus, Moses said, you know, God, I want to see who you are. I want to see your glory. And here's what happened. Moses wanted to see the glory of God, and God's reply says this. Here's what he said. I will make all of my goodness, pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Listen, goodness is not defined in the terms of what human beings think. Goodness is defined by God. Psalm 16. Listen to how David, all of a sudden comes as a light bulb comes on in David's mind. He says, oh my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. David says, look, I'm not good except because of God's goodness. So the second thing, we're talking about goodness. So how does that fruit grow up in our lives? How does that happen? What is this thing called goodness? And so let me just start by saying, let me tell you what it's not. It is not just doing good things. We all know people who do good things, right? I know a lot of rich philanthropists who do a lot of good things. You see, if we say, well, you know, it's just being good. Well, there's a lot of people who are good and do good. That doesn't mean they are following Jesus. That doesn't mean they have any understanding of what goodness, according to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, means in our lives. Because if we say, well, I can gain these points with God by being good. I'm going to eventually get to heaven if I get enough good points, right? That goes back to that whole thing we talked about last week. God sitting up in heaven say, oh, hey, look at there. Diana did something really good, so I'm going to put a good mark on her. Oh, look at that. Man, she really messed up. Erase that one. You know? And it goes back to that whole point system. Listen, that's not how it works. That's not how we gain eternity. That's not how we measure goodness. Goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Goodness. Powered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Goodness. A fruit of God's Spirit. Goodness is you and me fulfilling God's expectations in our lives. Doing God's will. That's goodness. Goodness is doing our very best to be morally excellent as we are powered by the Holy Spirit. Goodness is pleasing God in the way that we live life and the way that we interact with people who live around us as we are powered by the Holy Spirit. Goodness is reflecting the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us by being loving and kind and gracious and compassionate and caring because we are powered by the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul says in that verse 22 of Galatians 5. You know, he gives this long list of stuff and says, this is all the works of the flesh. This is the stuff we do because we can do it on our own. And that is not what pleases God. That is what puts us in bondage. And what God has done by the power and presence of His Holy Spirit has set us free from that bondage. He has broken the chains and set us free to live life. And I love what he says in Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to hear this. Listen to this quote from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. And he reminds the Galatian Christ followers this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock God and mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired, listen to this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good because we are powered by the Holy Spirit. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. It's pretty clear. All of us, just need to keep on seeking God. And letting those qualities, those fruit, be developed. Moment by moment, day by day, week by week, and month by month. There are three scriptures that really reinforce why this fruit of goodness is so important. You can just write them down if you want to and look at them later, but one is out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Says this, we were created in Christ for good works. We're created in Christ for good works. To live lives filled with good works that He's prepared for us to do. 3 John verse 11 says, we were called to imitate what is good. We're called to imitate what we see and what we've seen Jesus do. Those things that are good and pleasing to the Father. Colossians 1:10 says, we are called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. when we turn our hearts over to Jesus, there's a whole lot expected of us as His followers. And our job is to please Him in everything that we say, in everything that we do, and in everything that we are. That's our job. That's what we're about. Because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because His presence lives in us. So what is that goodness going to look like for you and me? By the way, that goodness thing is just it's like a cousin to kindness. All that stuff we said about kindness last week, if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, go back and listen to it. It's online. And just think about what that's like and what all that kindness stuff's all about. Because goodness is a cousin. Many of the same things about goodness can be said that we said about kindness. Here's what I want you to do. Before we prepare our hearts to come to the table, I want you to just take a moment to be quiet and listen to God's Spirit. What is He trying to say to us this morning about goodness? Would you pray?